Hey, Pastor Chandler.
Hey, Pastor Tony. What in the world's going on?
What is going on?
We're sitting in a room.
We're sitting at a boat table.
A boat table. I was asked a question on Sunday. Do you and Tony stand to do the podcast?
We can stand or sit, whatever the listener would like, but truthfully, we're sitting.
Yes. I don't think we've ever stood to do the podcast.
No. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then you, the listener, can tell us if you hear a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the depths of our souls, it might come out booming more or something.
If we're standing.
Yeah.
I've heard that if you pace while you're on the phone, it keeps you more energetic.
Yeah.
You know. So maybe that's...
Maybe we should pace.
Yeah, hold the microphone and pace back and forth
right.
In the room together.
Yeah.
Synchronized pacing.
Sure.
All right. Well, we'll try that next week, maybe.
Perfect.
We've got some announcements to go over here today at this point. I almost said this morning, but who knows when they'll listen to it.
It could be in the middle of the night.
Right. Whatever point you're listening to this, we have some announcements to go over. First, the Gallagher family has opened... I don't know how to say it.
The
pond in their backyard is available.
Yeah, little known fact, it's been cold.
Mm-hmm.
What cold does to water is what cold does to a pond.
Yeah, it freezes it.
It does.
And they have shoveled the pond and prepared it for skating, hockey, or broomball, and everyone is welcome. And you can find their address if you go to the New Life's website. And you can find the newsletter on the website and find their address.
Yeah. They would love to have you.
Yeah, it says come anytime.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go after this.
Yeah, we could go hit some broom ball or throw some skates on, go crazy.
Yeah.
Do a little Tonya Harding or Nancy Kerrigan, which is the...
That's your time, Tony.
Scott Hamilton.
Still not my time.
Come on.
I don't know.
All right.
All right, attention, all New Life partners. Please be sure to attend the annual business meeting this Saturday, January 16th at 10:30 a.m. It'll be here at the building. If you're a partner, we need you to be there.
We've just gotten word that the Stratmones will not be in town.
Hmm.
So that's two partners down.
We need everyone.
Apparently now we need everybody there.
For sure.
If you're not there, we'll put you on administrative leave or pay unpaid.
We'll penalize you.
Something.
Can't vote. Can't vote if you're not there.
You can't vote. Sorry, you can't vote by proxy. It's part of the Constitution. We'd like to change that, but we can't change it until we have a quorum.
Yeah, we have to have people to vote. All right. Attention, all teens. Christian Youth in Action is holding its winter retreat from February 5th to the 7th at Camp Fairwood, Wisconsin. Camp Fairwood, Wisconsin. Snow games, indoor games, great food, worship, special speakers, and fellowship. Share the weekend with teens who love the gospel and find out more about local summer missions. And if you have questions, you should speak with Erica Rice about that. But the Christian Youth in Action is a mission that equips teenagers to share the gospel to children.
It's a really good program. I mean, it's a good organization.
Gospel-centered.
It sure is. Here's a side convo.
All right, let's do it.
Erica will enjoy this if she's listening. But I was within a splitting hair's distance of speaking at the Christian Youth in Action camp in North Dakota this year, which is also on the February 5th through the 7th. But I'm not doing it.
Why? Wait, how did you originally get asked to do it?
Todd Erickson, who's oversees the region up there in North Dakota, had extended an invitation. He even said he'd do a song and dance, so if you're listening, I still would love that song and dance. But anyway...
If you were to come, he'd do a song and dance.
Yeah, but it didn't work out.
Hmm.
My associate won't be in town, so
oh.
I had to bypass. Which is okay. No guilt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because Erica invited me to go to the retreat because I get to go free because there's a certain amount of students going.
Rock on.
And I had to say, sorry.
You're going
to
be out of town.
Celebrating Christmas with my parents. So I really threw a wrench in things.
All over the place. No. We want the Wiley tribe to...
The Wiley family Christmas.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
Right on.
All right, it's time to be thinking of the New Life mission trip to Mexico. Anyone that is interested, please plan to attend our meeting on January 24th after the church service in the closed door back area of the lunchroom.
Chandler is reading, and he needs we found out that he needs glasses.
Yeah, glasses have been prescribed, and I'm just waiting to pick them up.
Yeah.
Does it seem like I need them?
Well, apparently, based on either that or you're not very good at reading.
It could be one of the... It could be either or. It's a closed door area of the lunchroom that threw me. Like, what does that mean?
Sure.
Yeah. Like, they're going to
They're going to slam the doors closed.
Yeah. It just threw me for a loop.
Right. But grab your lunch and go back there.
24th. On January 24th.
Yeah.
People interested in traveling will need passports. The trip is a great first-time mission opportunity. All ages are welcome. This is a family-friendly opportunity, so you can bring your entire family. Please contact Lorraine Milner if you're planning to go and not able to attend the meeting.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. It sounds like if you do want to go, there's plenty of space, or if you're even interested in the possibility of going. There's plenty of space. And we'll have plenty of food back there, too.
Yeah. 2 years ago, we went to, not we, the church.
Yeah. We collected.
We sent a representative.
Representatively, group. Yep.
Yes. And the people that went just have so many good testimonies of God working, and it's just a great, great time to serve a mission that we support every week.
Yep. This is our primary means by which we support this ministry, by the way, is our mission trip, so we'd love to get a group together to do that.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah. So Chandler, I was thinking, we're probably gonna cancel the music ministry at New Life. I think it might be because it's really not necessary, is it?
Well, it's funny that you ask that for a couple of reasons. First, that's my job, and so if we were to cancel that.
It would be, I suppose that kind of puts a damper on things, doesn't it?
Yeah, so hopefully we don't, but perhaps a biblical perspective on music would help.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, we need to have a discussion about what biblical worship looks like.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, this morning, again.
It might be the middle of the day.
Whenever you're listening.
Could be noon.
What we wanted to do is just talk about why do we sing at church on Sunday mornings? Why is there music? Or when we get together at the annual business meeting, we're going to sing some songs. And why do we sing together? And an Old Testament understanding, over and over again, especially in Psalms, we're told to sing and make music to the Lord, play instruments,
right,
and sing a new song to the Lord. Miriam, when the Israelites left Exodus, she left dancing and singing and playing a tambourine. That's why we have a tambourine on Sundays.
Sweet.
It's biblical.
Yeah.
And
even if you don't shake it, it's just having it on stage.
On the stage.
Yeah.
It was on the stage last week.
It was.
Yeah. It was just up there.
George loves it.
Yeah. So it's biblical to have it there.
Right.
Yeah. But coming into the New Testament, it seems like less is said about instruments, obviously. There's nothing said about instruments, and even less is said about singing, and we're a New Testament church.
Yeah.
And so why do we sing, and how do we understand all that? That's the question.
That's a good question.
I would start with Romans 12.
You better make this case good, because... It's going to be at the vote. If you make this a good case for worship, and
it'll stick. But if not,
yeah, then we'll put it on the ballot.
Yeah. Okay. I would start with Romans chapter 12 to make my case.
All right, let's hear it.
Which says, beginning in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And the reason I would start there is that gives us a very big picture of what worship is.
Mm.
And I see the as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship, I see the just the thought of sacrifice as worship. And we don't sacrifice animals anymore.
There's been one who was sacrificed. Yeah.
But in a sense, we sacrifice our time and resources and our desires and our fleshly desires. We sacrifice that for the sake of God and His glory and His desires. So worship is not singing.
Yeah.
Worship is presenting your whole life as an offering to God. That's Amen. What I would say is worship. Amen. And so when we sing songs, just singing the lyrics,
it's not necessarily worship.
Right. I mean, it's bringing attention to God, which could result in worship.
Right.
But just to sit in the church service, or stand, we usually stand, mm-hmm. and just say the lyrics on the screen wouldn't be worship. It'd just be singing.
Right.
So something has to happen to... Why else would we do it if it's not there? So then I would turn to Colossians. And this is continuing my case. How's it going so far?
It sounds good.
Okay. In Colossians chapter 3, and we studied this together last year on a Sunday morning, but in verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, he being Paul, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." So, emphasis on the word of Christ and dwelling richly in you. And then we're supposed to teach and admonish, encourage one another in that wisdom. And then he, in the same phrase, says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so what I see and why I think we sing on Sunday mornings is as the message of Christ indwells us, we respond with teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom. And one way we do that to teach and to admonish and to encourage one another is by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so the reason I think we sing on Sunday mornings, and you could disagree with me if you'd like.
Are you speaking to me or the listener?
Well, right now to you.
Okay.
They're listening. Sure. You could disagree with me.
I'm not listening.
Okay. You don't listen.
No, I'm just kidding.
But I see singing as an opportunity to point us and to draw attention to God. And when that happens and when our singing does put our attention on Christ, then it becomes an act of worship.
Mm.
And so, for example, you come in from a long week. You've been distant from God, perhaps, and we begin to sing as a church. Let's just pick a song. One song we're singing is, "We Are the People of God." And then it goes on and on. I'd have to sing it to get the rest of the lyrics.
Okay.
With the freedom of hope in our hearts. And it's, singing that song.
Okay.
And if that begins to remind you and to draw attention in your heart to Christ and to remember the promises that he has given, what he has paid for us, and it causes us to do everything in thankfulness and to surrender to him for his name, then I think it becomes an act of worship.
Yeah. It's in a sense when Moses raises his staff, it's a reminding and bringing attention and glory to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even some translations of this text will say singing over one another. Mm. And so it's this idea of you're singing, but your brothers and sisters are singing the songs as well. And so it's a congregational effort to draw attention to God through music, which is biblical in the Old Testament and New Testament. And so we sing as a congregation as we remember the message of Christ and to instruct us, to remind us about the truths of God, to encourage us and push us on.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we sing on Sunday mornings.
And not only is it, does it result in worship, but it is a glorious honor that God has given us.
Mm.
What a gracious God to choose his people to be his choir.
Yeah.
As the king has a choir, so we are his choir. What a great honor. And in the sacrificial system, there was always a dedicated group of people who were meant to be singing.
Hmm.
And so they were the priests, a whole section of priests and men who were dedicated to singing praise, essentially nonstop to the Lord, joining in with the host in heaven, declaring his praise. And since our sacrifice has been completed, and Paul's talking about this living sacrifice, that's like a contradiction, a living sacrifice. The sacrifice is done, yet it is continuing on in us. And so we continue that act of praise on a daily basis. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think maybe the last thing I would add is it's also just a great response to the message of Christ. So yes, we come together and we start singing and it's drawing attention to the Lord. But then after we study his word or hear him revealed even more, it's a great response. That's what Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So as it dwells in us, then we respond in singing.
Yeah.
And maybe the best picture of that in the New Testament is when Jesus with his disciples tells, they have communion together at the Passover meal. And then in response to that message, they sing together.
Yeah.
So
if you look at the one who in Scripture is called the man after God's own heart, David was called the man after God's own heart. What is it that made him most unique in his life? Was it that he was good or not good, or a king or not a king? No, we had lots of kings. We've had lots of leaders. We've had a lot of good examples in Scripture, but only one has been called a man after God's own heart. And the thing that sets him far and away apart from everyone else is his obsession with what?
Worship.
Worship. In song.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the majority of Psalms we have. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a tight connection with a heart who is after God and a heart that is longing to sing praise. So,
in a vocabulary thing, I should mention, when people say hymns, perhaps they mean traditional
tunes.
Tunes,
yeah.
Because a hymn is
it's
a sacred song.
Yeah, which so we
sing. That's all we sing.
That's what we sing, brothers and sisters.
We sing hymns,
but
maybe not always of the early 1900s, late
traditional beer songs
variety. Right.
Most of the hymns are sung to beer songs, by the way. Just so you know, tunes.
Yeah.
Like Amazing Grace and all that.
Good old beer tunes.
Right on. Found in a bar. Anyway.
God brings beauty from the ashes.
Yeah.
From the beer.
Yeah.
Comes a beautiful song.
Yeah. He makes
perhaps
oak from ash.
Yes. All right. Well, hopefully that didn't confuse everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Blessings.